The scripture that I was going to read from today comes from the book of Numbers, and I'll give away a little bit of the end of the sermon by telling you that I came upon this text in my search for and in my search to find illustrations of how American society at one time was so much more open to the things of the Lord, so much more open to the scriptures, to quoting the scriptures, to simply touching base with the scriptures and indicating that the scriptures and that the God of the Bible was essential to life. We've gotten to the point in our modern day where to be strong and to be acceptable, a person is supposed to be able to develop their life apart from God. So that if you, it's thought that if you can talk about, well, can see your life and then can talk about your life in a secular fashion that is separate from God, but that is that's the normal position. And I've been looking for illustrations to show how this is a new, novel, and really radically different way of looking at your life. I've been arguing that if we don't reference our lives to the Lord, or if we don't speak of His name and lift it up as a relevant part of our lives, that offends God. And so, in effect, our whole civilization today is offending the Lord. And it's in the way of that that I've discovered the scripture. And so I'll share with you the rest of the story afterwards about why this scripture is significant. I'm going to read just verse 23 and 24, and then explain it to you. Numbers 23, verse 23. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done! Look, a people rises like a lioness, and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. May the Lord bless this reading to our good understanding. Now, this passage of Scripture comes from the incident with Balaam, the false prophet Balaam. And you've heard of Balaam's ass that finally made a prophecy itself and spoke. Well, there was a foreign king outside of Israel named Balak, B-A-L-A-K. And Balak was concerned to get this false prophet Balaam to make false prophecies against Israel. So he hired him to make these false prophecies against Israel. Now that's like saying that you don't like the church, and so you're going to find somebody to utter these imprecations, these curses over the head of the church, with the idea being that somehow your false prophecies will bring these curses down upon the head of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know the story. Something happened along the way between the hiring of this false prophet and between what the false prophet finally said. And every time Balak stood up to make a false prophecy against Israel, the Lord overpowered him and gave him something good to prophesy about Israel. And then the foreign king Balak would get all upset about things. In verse 25, after the portion that we read, it says, then Balak said to Balaam, okay, don't curse them anymore. Don't curse them anymore, but don't bless them anymore either. So Balak went from the point of hiring this guy to curse Israel, he kept drawing back, and he finally said, well, just don't say, you don't have to say anything bad, but just don't say anything good either, because what he had just said about Israel was really good. He'd hired him to preach against Israel, indeed, the false prophet, under the inspiration of God in this case, prophesied for Israel and said something good about Israel that is the scripture that we read that I read here this evening. Now, if we look at what he said about Israel, he said, "There is no sorcery against Jacob." So the Lord was saying through this false prophet, you can't really prophesy. You can't call upon the satanic powers or the world of superstition. You can't, or just because you say the words, it's not going to come to pass. God was saying, because I am the God behind existence, I am the God of weal and woe, and no matter what you say, it's not going to matter because I am the one who is sovereign. I'm the one who's going to pull the strings. So if you hire some satanic guy, some diviner like Balaam to say these words against me, I'm going to overturn them. I'm going to overcome you. And I will actually make the false prophet prophesy truly and not falsely. Now, this is one of my favorite places in Scripture because I just love it when people try to work against the Lord. And then in this case, God in a supernatural way made it manifest who was the most powerful. And in this case, this false prophet named Balaam couldn't utter the words that were in the mind of Balak that he wanted prophesied. So that even though Balak did it, he couldn't really effectively bring it to pass. Balaam, this false prophet, said that there's no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination. And he said, now it must be said of Jacob and of Israel, the elect son of Isaac, it must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. And then focusing on the question, what has God done? He says, look, a people rise like a lioness and lift itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours its prey and drinks the blood of the slain. So here was Balak. He wanted this prophecy uttered upon Israel that would signal Israel's defeat and her dissolution, her destruction, whatever. And instead he got the very opposite. Look, a people rise like a lioness and lift itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours its prey and drinks the blood of the slain. So there's a metaphor. This is not sort of an Islamic thing where we're trying to incite holy war, but it's a metaphor of a great wild beast, the lioness, who rises up from her slumber, and as she rises up, she seems so magnificent in the power. It's the most powerful cat in the world, and so if you're a lover of cats, this would be the most significant cat there is, the lioness. And so there's this comparison between Israel and Jacob, the people of God, and this lion getting up. And the metaphor is sustained because of the lion. Once the lioness gets up, she'll go hunting. She's not done with her hunting until she devours her prey, until she's successful in her quest. Now, what is the quest of the Lord but world domination? Getting rid of Satan, getting rid of the false kingdoms of this world. And so, metaphorically speaking, it's a prophecy about the ascendancy of the things of God, and the fact that God and His will cannot be quenched. Well, the title of the sermon is Out of the Mouth of Satan, and I love this because the people of this world are often prophesying about how they're going to build the kingdom, or they're going to build the Tower of Babel. They're going to do this, they're going to do that, and the church is going to be of no account. That's the delusion under which they're under. But in truth, the church of Christ is going to grow like the leaven and the bread, and it's going to percolate, and it may be slow, but it's going to keep working, and in the end, the kingdom of God is going to come with power here upon this earth, and the renegade world, which separated from God in Adam and Eve, and their fallen race, that is going to be overturned. by the power of the Lord. Now, the way I came upon the scripture is that I found that the last part of verse 23, oh, what God has wrought, or oh, that what God has done here, in the King James, it's oh, what God has wrought, or what hath God wrought. That sentence was the very first text that was transmitted by Samuel B. Morse over his famous telegraph line in the early 1800s, about 1820. And I came upon this and I saw it and I thought, I wonder, what hath God wrought? I wonder where that comes from. So I looked it up in the Bible and here it comes back to Numbers. And then that got me interested in Samuel Morse and the America of his day. And I thought, you know, would a scientist today who had made a big discovery, would he use a scripture quote for his first transmission? Now, Samuel Morse invented both the telegraph system, the single wire telegraph system, which is, I think the French had a two wire system that was that they were working on at this time. That was much more cumbersome and hard to string and hard to keep up. But Morris figured out a single wire system. That's what opened up the West to communication. Well, the whole country to communication. And then to communicate, he developed this Morse code, which is named after him. And in the first telegraph transmission, he quoted the Bible. What hath God wrought? It turns out that Samuel Morse was a very godly man as a scientist. And in fact, he was against, and I'd heard that there was this movement in the 1800s, but he was against all the immigration that was going on, especially as the century developed, of non-Protestant immigrants who did not understand covenant theology, because it was the reasoning of the people of that day. If our citizens do not understand covenant theology, then they can't really understand constitutionalism, because the constitutional idea is based upon the covenant idea. And if they don't understand the Constitution, and there become more of them than more of us, then we won't have America anymore, because the country will lose its distinct Christian culture based upon God's covenant. And so this is just one token of the science of his day and of the thinking of that day. They didn't see this vast gulf between Christian thinking and thinking. No, they saw that Christian thinking was the foundation of thinking. And so not only that, but when he picked this verse to communicate over the telegraph wires, you see, he was quoting a verse that had to do with the rise of the kingdom of God and the construction or the part of the percolation, you know, of the working of God in history, because he saw science as part of this great enterprise of the Lord. Look what God wrought, or what hath God wrought. Now there was a way to communicate over vast distances, and it was because the Lord was working and gracious with his people, bringing gifts to discovery. That's just a wonderful, wonderful story and a wonderful scripture. Because indeed, the things that we see are things that God has wrought, both in terms of the positive and the negative. God is capable of destroying the ungodly, and he's capable of building up the godly. And here's a scripture that comes from the mouth of an unbeliever, the mouth of a false prophet, but it shows God's power to overcome the satanic. And therefore, to me, it's a very encouraging text, because we know God overcame the satanic in the cross and the resurrection, and he is overcoming the satanic in the development of the world, development of the church, his developments as time marches on. So if you ever think of the Morse code again, or the telegraph, or indeed the telephone, modern communications, it all goes back to Samuel Morse, who knew how to quote the Bible. and sent that over his first transmission. Let's close in prayer. Our Father and our God, we pray that we might be new pioneers and new prophets of this kind of truth, promoting the idea that Thou dost exist, that Thou art great in Thy power, and indeed that in Thy loving power Thou givest many mercies, such as the modern means of communication. Thou art so kind, O Lord. And in terms of our culture, Thou hast given us blessing upon blessing. And that men, instead of giving Thee the credit, instead of being thankful to Thee, men take Thy name in vain and show no interest in Thee. Indeed, they take great honor in building up secular empires, empires that leave out anything about Thee, that ignore Thee, that disregard Thee, that turn their backs upon Thee. We thank Thee for such good examples as Samuel Morris from a century earlier, really 2 centuries earlier now. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that the Word of God stands. The Word of God cannot be broken. And that which Thou hast prophesied shall come to pass. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be lined up behind Thy standards, O Lord. Or if against them, they shall be totally quashed. And yet, even then, still forced to admit that Jesus is Lord. Help us, O Lord, to be encouraged by this. Help us to pray to this end. Help us to be consoled by this in the times in which we live, where there is so much persecution around the world of those who call upon Thy name. Bless us, O Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the power of this scripture. What hath God wrought? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.